Would he traveling with the Wags, who could lead a rising against their captors? Though Skullface's gang was outnumbered by roughly 3-1, they still had complete control. They held all the blasters, and with them went the initiative. A woman stood next to Strasser, and Mildred focused on her. She was dark-skinned, looking Mexican rather than Yankee, and her long black hair was tied back in a ponytail with a bow of red velvet ribbon. She was only average height, dressed in a white blouse and a black, divided riding skirt over knee-length boots, polished as highly as Strasser's own. She had a pistol at her hip and also carried a silver-tipped quirt. She was beautiful in a strangely blank way.
"My name is Court Strasser. You might know me by the name that the foolish and the superstitious use. They call me Skullface."
Nobody moved or spoke. Mildred was wondering whether Doc was slipping into a catatonic trance. And where was Ryan Cotter?
"My friends and I have taken over this ville as our base. We have made the locomotive work, and it carries us to another smaller ville in the hills. You people may help us."
Strasser began to move around as he spoke. Strasser had started on the far side from where Mildred and Doc were standing. Just a little past stood Elder Vair, his arm around Sharon's shoulders.
"We can always use workers. Women to cook, men to fetch and carry, children to... Those who obey will live and live well. Those who don't will perish, and perish hard. It's as simple as that."
He'd walked slowly past half of the settlers. Mildred noticed that nobody had actually looked Strasser in the face. She resolved that she would try hard to avoid staring at him. To remain anonymous must be the best option. The lean, black-clad figure halted, looking hard at one of the settlers, a frail man named Cotter, one of the gray, anonymous figures distinguished only by the fact that he wore a black patch over his left eye. With a thrill of realization, Mildred was suddenly aware of why Strasser had stopped.
"Your name, One-Eye?"
"Cotter! Robert Cotter, sir!"
"Hmm.
Oh, please don't hurt me, sir, for the love of God!"
Strasser stepped in very close to the man, lifted the metal tip of his riding crop, and touched him gently on the face beneath the patch. He nodded slowly and then moved on. Ryan glanced at JB.
"What do you reckon? Move out or try to find us a place to hole up inside the ville?"
"Like that better. Won't be that long before Strasser finds out about us. One way or another, he'll learn it, and he'll put up guards or come hunt us. Best place could be inside."
Christy tugged at Ryan's sleeve.
"That row of stores. There were rooms above. How about that?"
"No, we get trapped. Better gardens, big houses west of Hill. They're not trapped."
"Sure, Jack. Guess that makes more sense. Wouldn't fancy getting trapped by Court Strasser. No way."
Ryan began to edge away.
"Can't do anything here. Probably nothing much will happen now. Let's go and find ourselves a good place to hole up."
Strasser reached Elder Vair.
"You in charge, old man?"
"I have the honor of being appointed by the Lord as the shepherd in charge of this humble flock of poor sheep who wander..."
"I asked if you were in charge. Didn't want a sermon, preacher."
"I am so sorry, Mr. Strasser. Yes, I am Vair, Elder Vair."
"And this..."
The tip of the short whip nearly touched the breast of the man's daughter.
"Sharon, my daughter, Mr. Strasser. She is..."
"I can see that for myself, Elder. Indeed, I can see that. We all can. Can't we, Rave?"
The slit-eyed man with the mustache smiled.
"Short game, boss."
He was absently twirling a pair of rosewood nunchaku sticks, linked by 8 inches of steel chain.
"Come here, bitch."
Her father stopped her with his hand on her arm. The skull-faced man never stopped smiling for a moment.
"We have a problem, Elder Vair?"
"She's my daughter, and I won't have her harmed by someone like you."
Mildred heard Doc drawing several long, slow breaths, as though he were fighting for his life.
"Uh-oh."
"That's brave of the old fart."
"No. Stupid. Quite stupid, Mildred."
Court Strasser ignored the whispering from along the line. His attention concentrated on Elder Vair and the pretty little blonde girl.
"Someone like me?"
"I meant that."
"What?
Strasser was smiling, rocking gently back and forth on his heels. He transferred the whip to his left hand, leaving his right hand free.
Nothing.
You mean nothing?
Yes.
Your daughter's nothing to you, Elder Vair. Well, I think she can be something to me.
The tip of the whip darted in under the girl's skirt, thrusting up hard into her groin. Sharon's face reddened. Her father grabbed at Strasser's left arm, trying to push him away.
Quite stupid.
There was a narrow bladed knife with an ivory hilt sheathed on Strasser's belt, just to the left of a large brass buckle. He drew it in a whisper of movement and pulled it once across the front of the preacher's neck. So fast and so delicate that for a fraction of a moment, nobody in the crowd could be sure what had happened. Not even Elder Vair knew.
Father!
He heard someone cry out and wondered who it was. Though the voice sounded familiar, there was rain falling around his feet, pattering on his shoulders, soaking him in its warmth.
The rain is warm.
Dizziness overwhelmed him, and he slumped to the bloody dirt, his hand loosing its grip on Strasser's arm. The watching settlers stood stunned as they saw their leader die, blood pumping across the sand and cobbles. Sharon Vair turned away, burying her face in the arms of the woman on her left. Strasser stooped with an angular grace and wiped his blade on the dying man's coat, sheathed it, and straightened again. Doc took a half pace forward, shrugging off Mildred's attempt to stop him.
Nothing changes, does it, you murderous dog?
Strasser turned, his face puzzled. He stepped toward the old man, and then halted.
Well, well, well. Journey's end in old friends meeting, Dr. Tanner. This is a surprise.
Jack found the perfect house for them to use as a hiding place. It was constructed from concrete blocks and stood in about a third of an acre of totally overgrown garden. A dusty yew hedge, dotted with towering spikes of yucca, made the house itself almost invisible from the side road that jutted from the back of the main street. The white-painted walls had flaked and peeled long ago, and the glass in the windows was crazed by the long scouring winds of the desert. The back door had been kicked off its hinges many years ago, and anything that had ever been worth taking had gone. The main furniture remained, most of it only shells, ruined by insect predators. Ryan peered through the moonlit shadows, while Ward leaned his hand against the wall by a long picture window.
Fine. By cracky, son, but I don't see what in thunder you and me and three other good folks can do against that ruffian out there.
Me neither, Major. But Strasser's now holding two friends, and I don't see how we could just walk away from that.
Despite his heroic words, Ryan was essentially a realist. Living close to middle age in Deathlands had imposed that on him. He liked Doc very much, and he'd come to respect Mildred. But there was no way that he'd simply throw his life away for them.
What do you think Strasser will do, lover?
As soon as he finds out what he's caught, he'll probably try and hunt us down. If that fails, he'll look for some way of trading.
Trading?
Strasser would like Ryan best, and young Jack here as well. They both hurt him. Ryan mashed in his mouth, and Jack broke a finger for him. Man like Strasser savors revenge better than any other meal. Wouldn't mind waiting for it. He'll likely offer Doc and Mildred for Ryan and Jack. Fair, straight trade.
The Wagmaster shook his head. From the moment the gang took over Salvation, he'd been out of his depth, floundering helplessly.
So what will we do? Don't seem likely that Skullface would keep his word in a trade.
Ryan couldn't control a grim smile at the idea that Court Strasser might ever keep his word about anything. Christie sat on the floor, leaning against the wall. She sighed and rubbed her eyes.
Kaya, this is a bad one.
Best we all try and get some rest.
Ryan looked around the room, his eyes caught by a painting of a woman with a blue face that hung crookedly on the wall by the door.
Huh. Didn't know they had muties before the long winters. Have to keep watch.
Five of us. Have two on and three off. Split the breaks.
Ryan and Christie took the first spell on guard, one at the front and one at the back. With an odd number, the normal way of arranging the rotation was for them to alternate. After an hour, Christie was replaced by Jack. An hour later, Ryan was replaced by J.B., and an hour after that, Major Ward was awakened to take Jack's place. It meant everyone had a chance for a reasonable period of sleep and kept the watchers fresh. Ryan took the rear door, squatting on the floor, in what would once have been the kitchen. The moon came and went, giving periods of good light, followed by long minutes of total darkness. When you were on watch at night,